check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Not doing too shabby. Actually, recently tried Fanta Zero, the Orange Fanta. I haven't had a Fanta in a little while. It's pretty good, so living the dream.
We pretty regularly have the Fanta Orange Zero here, because Monica's she's an orange drink connoisseur. She likes the Sun-Kissed Zero and the Fanta Zero switched back and forth, but I like them both, but I think I prefer the Fanta a little better. But they're both pretty good. I like orange drinks. And when I was a kid, when Sunkist first kind of became a big thing, man, I drank it like crazy. It was like all the rage. It was everywhere when it was kind of, I don't know if it was new or not, or if it was what it was, but it was just all of a sudden like everywhere. Like they did a big promotional push or something. But I drank a lot of it when I was a kid. So I still enjoy the occasional orange soda.
Love some good orange soda.
You know what you don't see a lot of, like, pushed in the mainstream is grape soda anymore, though. I mean, I know it's out there, but you don't see it very often. You know, it's not this widely available thing.
Well, and it's weird because, like, it's not or like orange soda is pretty common, especially like people who don't know. I switched to zero calorie drinks a while back just because that was something I did to help with my calorie intake, and there's not a lot of, like, there's quite a few zero calorie sodas now, but there's not a lot of variety still. So like you said, like I see Grape Fanta everywhere, but I've never seen zero Grape Fanta, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, there's lots of family. I mean, there's like a pineapple Fanta, like a strawberry Fanta, and there's all these Fanta flavors, but the only one I've ever seen is the Fanta Orange Zero. And it's not even that common to find, really. Like, not every store that carries Fanta do you even see the Orange Zero. It's just we know where to get it around here, but it's kind of peculiar. But that's the way. the way it be. You gotta know where to get your shit, I guess.
That's right. Gotta know where to get your fix.
Yep. So, all right. Well, that concludes the soda podcast. And we're now moving back on to the horror podcast. And on this episode, we are reviewing the movie Creeping Death, which came out a couple weeks ago. But we just now getting around to reviewing it. We really wanted to make sure we gave it a proper review because A, it's a fun movie to watch. And B, coming this Sunday, September 29th, we will be releasing our interview with Matt Sampier, the writer, director, and actor of Creeping Death. So be sure to check that out, including, or maybe I should say especially, the video version, which will be available on YouTube. There are many points in this conversation with Matt that will really help to get just to see the video. Because I pointed out, you know, the shirt he's wearing and his tattoo and the stuff on the wall behind him and stuff. So if you're not watching the video, some of that, you're losing some of that in translation. So.
You are.
You really, really need to watch the video version as well. So there you go. So, Ike, before we dive into all the segments, what did you watch this week?
Well, I was just trying to catch up on some stuff on the list. But I think the big thing that I did was in anticipation of the coming VHS release. I watched all of the VHS movies. So between like Friday to yesterday, I watched all of them. So 1, 2, and 3, 88, 99, 85, the whole kit and caboodle, and loved them all. Great time. And I cannot wait for VHS Beyond, next week, I think.
Yeah, I think it's up. Is it the 4th, October 4th?
It's the 4th or the 8th. It's something divisible by 4.
Yeah, we just shared it shared it on social media, but I think I can't remember what it was. Yeah, it's pretty soon. But yeah, I intend very soon to do a rewatch of those two prior to watching that, because I've not watched I not watched I don't know if I've well I don't you know I don't know if I've rewatched any of them. I think I've only just seen them all once, to my knowledge, maybe. So yeah, I'm gonna do a straight through rewatch as well, very much very close in the near future. This week, I decided to go ahead and dive into my Nightmare on Elm Street rewatch that I usually do this time of year. So far, I've watched 1 through 3, and now it's kind of gonna get a little choppy from here, hit or miss here and there, but that's okay. They all get choppy to me after I come out of 3, just because I love 3, and
Right.
even on this rewatch, I'm like, man, this is such a damn good movie, so much fun, and it held true even this time. So that's pretty much all I watched. I did rewatch Creeping Death again, my second time, because I'd already, obviously I already watched it, right around when it came out. But I did watch it again prior to this review, just because I've been wanting to anyway. And I thought, well, this is the time to do it. So, and it did not disappoint. And for those of you who have already seen Creeping Death and already watched it, after you listen to our interview with Matt, watch it again. Because after hearing Matt talk about things, you see different things in the movie. You pick up on certain things he was talking about, particularly the ending when he talks about it. He tells us a story about the ending and when they were filming, that ending shot. And when I watched it and got to that ending part, it made me chuckle, knowing the story he had told us about it. So good time. So if you've not watched Creeping Death, or even if you have, after you listen to that interview, give it a watch or another watch, and you'll see it with a fresh set of eyes, with the Matt St. Pierre lens, as you hear some of the stories he told. So, fun stuff. So, all right, let's dive into our segments.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And we start with Cheesy Slasher of the Week. This is where Ike and I recommend to you a cheesy slasher, a kind of a goofy, low budget, campy slasher movie. Not you know not I mean I, not always tick all those boxes, but it has, to some degree, it is cheesy. And this week we offer to you the movie The Burning. The movie was written by Tony Malam and Brad Gray, directed by Tony Malam. Sorry, Brian Matthews, Lee Ayers, Brian Backer, Jason Alexander, and more. The movie was released May 8th, 1981 in theaters. The original script title of the movie was The Cropsey Maniac, and the concept is based on a campfire story told in New Jersey and New York. So there you go. Effects artist Tom Savini turned down Friday the 13th Part 2 to work on this film. The film has a very similar storyline to Friday the 13th, the first one. But Tom Savini has said that this one was actually written before Friday the 13th. So that's the word according to Tom. This is Jason Alexander's first acting credit ever. And of course, Jason Alexander would go on to play George in Seinfeld. This is one of the first movies to be placed on the UK's Video Nasties list. I'll take any opportunity that I can get to say this phrase, Video Nasties. I think I'm going to put that on a shirt. I wonder if someone in the UK's got that trademarked or something. Who cares? What are they going to do? Put me on the Video Nasties list? That'd be a badge of honor.
Right.
Just that something about that phrase just rolls off the tongue. It's like, Video Nasty. Anyway, this movie, The Burning, is available to watch on Tubi. It is a cheesy slasher, but it is a fun one. It is probably one of the better ones. Really, it is. It's enjoyable. It's got its holes and its gaps, but it is a pretty enjoyable film, especially if you do enjoy Friday the 13th. So let's move on. Talk to us, Internet. And our next segment is called Talk to Us, Internet, and we're going a slightly different route with this one. This is, I don't know if this will make the final cut of the interview with Matt St. Pierre that we've been talking about here. I'm not sure, because I'm not sure where it fell in our conversation, but I want us to tell you all the listeners, the tale. Gather around, children. This is the tale of how Listen to Their Screams is now pretty much officially a good luck charm for movies and movie makers. Now, for those of you who have listened and know, and especially have honed in on the interviews, in the past we had Sean Robinson on, who made the movie Life of Bell. It was a very fun interview. If you've not heard that yet, go in the archives or go on YouTube. There's a video version there too. Sean was a great guest. Life of Bell is a great movie. But Life of Bell was doing well, was in the top five. It's on Screambox. It was in the top five, performing very well. Soon after Sean Robinson was on our show, Life of Bell went to number one as the most watched movie on Screambox. Now, we didn't think anything of it at the time. We just thought, oh, of course, the movie's good. It was on a rise. It was bound to happen. But, however, we just recently recorded our interview with Matt Sampier from Creeping Death. And at that time, it was number three on Screambox. Now, Matt actually, during the interview, checked the standings. I believe it was number two. Is that right, Ike? I think when he checked it, they were currently at number two behind Terrifier 2, I think. Now, the day after we recorded that interview, I wake up, and when I, hop on social media, I see a post from Matt, and I have a message from Matt. And what it entailed was that the day after we recorded the interview, Creeping Death went to number one on this as the most watched on Screambox. And Matt was like, "Did you set this up?" Because we told him the story about Sean Robinson and how we, oh, maybe we're a good luck charm. And he's like, "Ah, yeah." And he, it was just could not have been more ironic that the day they went to number one was the day after he did that interview with us, and we were joking about this. So, I mean, I don't know. One may be a fluke, but two's, I mean, we're starting to get a pattern here. And I'm really starting to believe that, hey, movie creators, y'all should be lining up to do interviews with us because apparently we can get you to number one on Screambox. I don't know what it is. Because I told Matt, I don't think our audience is that impactful enough. Well, it wouldn't have made a difference because we hadn't even released his interview yet.
Right.
So I don't know. It's just one of those things where whatever the paranormal spirits of online streaming of a line in our favor, or we're just a couple of fat guy Buddhas, and if you rub our bellies, you'll be the number one most watched on Screenbox, I guess. But
Well,
it's weird.
there's a saying. It says one's a fluke, two's a coincidence, three's a pattern. So we need
That's
a
right.
third.
We need a third. We need a third. I don't know who I mean, I'm sure we'll get one. It's got to be somebody with the movie on Screambox because
Right.
I don't know. There's not really a tracking system for much else. I don't know if any others. I mean, I know other platforms do most view, but they're grander scales than Screambox is a little more niche. So we'll have to get another creator on whose movie's doing okay. I'm curious about. Now, you know what? Maybe we need to go back and look at the records on Frogman.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had them on, but I almost believe Frogman had already hit number one before we did the interview.
Probably. Frogman was a good one. Frogman was pretty epic, in my opinion.
Yeah, but we may need to look back because we may not have noticed it, but wouldn't that be wild? Because that would be our three. Whatever the case may be, we've got two that we know of. So hey, I don't know. Or all this shows is that us and the other viewers of Screambox have very similar tastes in what movies we pick to watch and support. So there you have it. And maybe it's not so much a reflection on us being a good luck as it just is on the fact that these guys are making pretty quality movies. Maybe that's where. I think that's probably more where the credit should lie, and not that we're good luck, but that in this case, Matt Sampier made a hell of a movie, and
Yes, he did.
that's why it's at number one because he didn't need luck to get there. He did it by making a great movie, which we'll talk more about later. So there you go, kind of a little sidebar, a little campfire tale on this version of Talk to Us Internet, but. Yeah, we really want to test this theory out further. So, folks, I'm trying to think who else. Have we had other Screenbox people on?
We had the folks from Hunting for the Hag, but I don't think that their movie is on Screambox. And we had our friend from Severance Mountain, who,
He's not on Screambox.
yeah, he's just
Not
on
yet.
Prime.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's all of them.
Well, and we had Wright Barrett from
Yeah.
but that movie had already been out in theaters, In a Violent Nature, and already done its thing and was already had already done big things. We can't take any credit there. So okay, well, there you go. But we'll test the theory again in the future with somebody else. But whatever the case may be, Matt, you're welcome.
You are
Whether
welcome.
I'll take whatever. I'll gloat a little bit, even though I didn't really do anything. So all right, so let's move on.
Horror hot take.
And this episode, we had to pull a swerve. We had put out there that we were going to do two truths and an AI. We're not doing two truths and an AI this week. We're going to do a horror hot take. Ike, this is where one of us, typically you, gives I don't know, hot take's a loose term here. It's not even that, it's just a discussion point, a point, something that to inspire a little discussion. There is the potential that it could be divisive. It could have very strong opinions, very, strong opposing sides and views on this, but not necessarily. It's just meant to have a discussion. So, Ike, do you have a topic in mind?
I think so. I think I got something that's actually kind of in line with what we're talking about today.
Okay. Well, it's not another soda thing, is it?
Oh, no. Not nothing about
Okay.
soda.
All
Although,
right.
my one soda hot take is if you think that mug root beer is even palatable, you should probably just jump off a cliff or something, because mug root beer is disgusting.
What? Wow. Where are you
Yeah.
pulling that out of?
Listen. I love A&W root beer. I love
I didn't.
Bork's. It's called Barks, but I call it Bork's. I love those root beers. And I love all the craft root beers, so like your IBC root beer, stuff like that. But mug root beer tastes like hot dog water, and it is the nastiest shit I've ever drank in my entire life. So if you like mug root
No,
beer, that shit gives me a headache too. I don't know why.
I don't. Boy, I don't even. I can't even say if I've ever had a mug root beer. Maybe I don't know.
You're better off for it. You're
I
better
don't
off not
know.
having
I
it.
like Barks, and I'm a big fan of A&W fountain, like a fountain type thing. Like when you go, if you can
Right.
find like the old places where you used the hot dog stand places where the A&W was. Oh, that was good stuff. Anyway, that's not the hot take. Go on. What is your hot
Yeah, I
take?
mean that very well may be a hot take, but it's not a horror hot take. But anywho, my sort of topic of discussion today is, I think more movies should dive into different, whether it be religious or non-religious lore, and we should have more lore-based movies. The movie we're reviewing today, and I'm not going to get into it too much, talks a little bit about Halloween lore and some of the, supposed history and tales of creatures of Halloween and things of that nature. And I just feel like more movies should really lean into that. And I feel like not enough do. I just feel like, there's so many really cool things that could be horror related that are in that genre of, either lore, urban legends, word of mouth history, stuff like that. I mean, for instance, when was the last time you've seen like a really good like Wendigo movie or like a Skinwalker movie? Like those are really spooky things. Like I feel like people should make more movies about like Skinwalkers and the Wendigo and stuff like that. And there's just stuff like that I feel like is not touched upon enough. Like there's other Native American lore and myths and stories that like are really like chilling stories that like don't get touched on, since I brought up skinwalkers, because skinwalkers were originally a Native American lore. But I mean, there's also, there's Christian lore that has a lot of really spooky things to it. Hindu lore has a lot of really spooky things to it. Some of the gods and goddesses of that lore are actually kind of terrifying and perspective, and it's just I feel like that is just not leaned into enough, and I feel like we need more of it.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of attack. It seems like they only hit when something, for whatever reason, has a run of being real, getting popular, right? Of
Right.
Slender Man and some of those things, and the what were those called? Yeah, we talked about them before. And what's that shit called online? The Urban Legends Online. The
Oh, creepypastas.
yeah, creepy pastas. That's it. I was saying, is there some spaghetti? What the heck? I knew it had something to do with spooky spaghetti.
It's funny you say that because there's a show called it's called, oh God, it's, oh, there's a show on Max. It's called Pretty Little Liars, but it's like a spin-off show, and they have a website that's supposed to be creepypasta, and it's literally called Spooky Spaghetti in that show.
there you
So
go.
you were on the same wavelength.
Yeah, but it's like, so it's like it's they only hit ones, that have a run of popularity or whatever. And I understand that, right? You hit that stuff. But yeah, there is, I mean, every not only every country in the world, but even just regions of these all the countries have different stories, different tales. I
Yeah.
mean, you could work your way through United States, just the United States, and it would take you forever to hit even all the good ones. I mean, the top ones, because every region has there's these stories, right? I mean, here we find out, the burning, the cheesy slasher was a campfire story around New Jersey and New York. Frogman that we mentioned, was based on a cryptid. Where I can't remember where he said it was, originated, that story originated. And but all these there's all that all over the US, right? Every place has versions of things and has things, and that's and all that you could dive into. And then like you said, not even that's not even talking about all the religious aspects that aren't what widely known or whatever it's out there, and all the different holiday lore. I mean, there's lore for different holidays and it's so much of these things are based on, pagan stuff and this and that if you go back. And I know we've got Krampus and things like that, but man, if you really rip apart Christmas, there's a lot more there even. And not you taking account all the other holidays. I don't want to hone in on the Halloween thing too much, because I know Matt St. Pierre has a big interest, and I don't want to, but there's a lot there to, I mean, a ton there obviously to explore. And even if you dive into whatever area specific ghost stories and hauntings and things like that. I mean, that are more specific. That man, these are pretty fleshed out tales and ideals already that, just are ready to be translated over. And it can be in various things, whether it be a movie, whether it be some kind of a series. There's lots that can be done about it with it. You're right. There's a lot, to potentially be out there. Now there's, people are coming up with lots of good ideas and lots of stuff out there. But horror is always has these runs of things, right, that are get popular for a while, right? Or not just horror, but just movies in general, right? Vampires will be popular for a while, or this will be popular for a while, or whatever it might be. And yeah, we need a run of things like this. But I can see it just a good whatever, a good cryptid run, where
Yeah.
like with Frogmas, where they really dive into some of the more obscure ones and stuff that's out there that you don't hear about, I know somebody's making some kind of Bigfoot movie that's coming out within the next year and stuff like that. But let's dive into some of the more obscure things. And I don't know who's making this Bigfoot movie. I just saw it in passing. But if I hope if they make a Bigfoot movie that let's make that fucker terrifying,
Yeah,
right?
for
Let's
real.
make Bigfoot scary, because we've already got Harry and the Hendersons, and I love that movie and it was fun. But now let's go to the other way. Let's make Bigfoot. Let's make him a freaking monster. Let's bring that back. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot that people could do, and yeah, it would be nice, because it's all very, very fascinating. And one of the cool things about these things is when people hit on them and touch on them, and I'm at least for me, and I'm sure I'm probably not the only one. It inspires me to go down these rabbit holes of looking and reading and researching some of this stuff and trying to see more about where it came from and the origins of it and what else there is related to it and things like that, because there's a lot out there to explore and read, and yeah, it'd be fun. I mean, we've got
Right.
5,000 Sharknado movies. We can't, do something else.
Well, and I was going to say, and you actually touched on something that I meant to mention, is that a lot of times when these movies do come out and they do have sort of that lore element, I mean, it creates, you start going down the rabbit hole. You're like, oh, like, I need to figure out more information about this. And that's how I am too. I'm like, man, I need to know more.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's fun to do that, right? It's part of it. But I'm one of those guys that when I something sparks an interest for me, I get a at least for a period, I get a wee bit obsessive, and it's like I just want to dive in and learn everything I can about it, and really dig deep. So, yeah, that's part of the fun for me.
Oh, absolutely.
So, all right, well, there you go. There's a, you know. It's a hot take. I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's that hot of a take, but it's a very wise opinion. There we go. That I agree with. Let's explore the lore, folks, and make some content with that. So, all right. Well, that wraps up all the segments, I believe. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we will have news, birthdays, and anniversaries. So hang in there.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, folks. So we are starting off with the best news of all time. And actually, this information, we actually learned this over the weekend. And at the closing of our interview with Matt, we actually talked about this very briefly. So there's some weird time travel going on that when you guys watch the interview, you'll actually hear when we first actually briefly chatted about this. But you will hear this episode first. So you're hearing the future first before the past. I don't know how that works.
Very
Anywho.
Wild, man. There's some
it's something.
TARDIS Doctor Who shit going on, man. When we're recording stuff out of order, it just blows your mind.
It really does. It really does. But it's a good time. But and then pretty much the best news that we could possibly get at the world premiere of Terrifier 3 at Fantastic Fest, Damien Leone. I'm sorry, is it Leone or Leone? That's why I always get confused about.
I think it's Leone, but
that's what I thought too.
I'm not 100% sure on that.
I always think about that every time I say his name. I'm like, is it Leone or Leone? Anyways, he confirmed that there will be a Terrifier 4. So. That means that whatever we see in Terrifier 3 is not the end. We will get more. Now, of course, he did not say if this is going to be like a prequel or sequel. I don't think he's given any details as to the nature of that project or when or how it's going to be made. But obviously, we're excited, clearly. I mean, that's a given.
Yeah. And I mean, no big surprise. You wouldn't think, I mean, such a hot property. A character that's become an icon, every movie outdoing the one before, you would figure it would go on, but it's nice that to hear it out of the man's mouth himself that, oh yeah, it's coming, it's happening. So, it's just nice to have that confirmation. So
it is.
And speaking of Terrifier 3, the initial reactions are amazing from that world premiere. And I've heard people say various things, as in the there are the I don't know again I don't know take it for what it is I don't know this is just people that have watched it that there are like 70% more kills in this one than the last one.
Damn.
I have seen people saying that there are several kills in this one that make the bedroom bleach and salt scene look mild compared to these. So I don't know what is in this movie. I mean, there have been taglines out there that this is some of the most twisted stuff. So I am literally just giddy. Cannot wait to see this movie, to see what they have cooked up for us. I'm just, oh, I can't wait. October 11th.
I know. And it's literally right around the corner too. Like, we're only a couple of weeks away from it.
I know. I'm ready.
Same. But as soon as we know more, guys, as always, we'll give you guys the scoop if we hear anything. We keep our ear to the ground per se. So as soon as we hear more about Terrifier 4, we'll let you know.
Yeah, I'm I'm sure they want to get three out there and ride that wave for a while before they, put the cart before the horse, though. And let's so it'll be a little bit probably before we hear start hearing details, but
Oh yeah, I'm sure we'll get details like months down the line before anything else. But in any case, keep an eye on our social media. This is a perfect time for you to make sure you're following us, because if you're following us, then you get all of the wonderful stuff that we post about. So that's the big thing. That's the big takeaway here. But moving right along too, Never Let Go was released in theaters on September the 20th, so this last weekend. It is described as a family has been haunted by an evil spirit for years. Their safety and their surroundings come into question when one of the children questions if the evil is real. And we will be reviewing this movie on our next episode. So yeah, this is something that we actually saw a trailer for. I think I can't remember which movie I saw on before, but I saw it looked pretty solid. And I was like, yeah, we should. I think this might be interesting. So, I think it'll be unique at the very least.
Yeah. Doesn't have Halle Berry in it.
I believe so.
Yeah. All right. Not a big Halle Berry fan, but if she's getting pursued and nearly killed, that might be fun.
You didn't like Halle Berry's Catwoman?
I did not. No.
I mean, I think I probably know the answer to this question. Who is your favorite Catwoman? I would assume it's probably Michelle. Is it Michelle Pfeiffer?
Well, hell yeah, it's Michelle Pfeiffer. Although Anne Hathaway is pretty good too. But yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer all the way.
Honestly, I really like the Batman's Catwoman, which would
Yeah,
have been.
she was pretty good too. I can't remember her name though.
It's oh God.
Oh, is
Ah
it Zoe
man.
Kravitz?
Yeah, Zoe Kravitz. I was like, it's
That's
Lenny
right. Yeah.
Kravitz's
Yeah.
daughter.
She was good. That was a good take on it. Probably one of the best portrayals of Catwoman. But yeah, just Michelle Pfeiffer looked awfully good.
Yes. Michelle Pfeiffer is more of a classic Catwoman, I would say.
Yeah.
But good stuff. That's not what we're here to talk about. But moving on to upcoming birthdays. On September 26, 1970, Sherry Moon Zombie, known for every Rob Zombie movie ever made. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Sherry Moon Zombie. She's not a horrible actress.
She's not a very good one.
Right. She's not going to win any Oscars anytime soon, but some of her portrayals in the Rob Zombie movies are not bad. She was also in Rob Zombie's reimagining of the Munsters. So, and she wasn't,
Yeah.
again, horrible in the Munsters, but
No, but
yeah.
my thing is, she has a place, right? She has a place in acting that she could do. I think sometimes he gives her a bit too much to do, and he needs to, she's not a lead. She's more of a good kind of a supporting in the right role, more of a supporting actress. But Rob, whatever. Rob likes to, it's his movie. He can put in it who he wants, I guess. But she was I don't know. She was a little better in some of his more twisted movies, I think, because she came across kind of a little crazy, and
Yeah.
it seemed to work. But she's all right. I don't hate her, but she's not one that I'm gonna be like, hell yeah, Sherry Moon Zombie's in this movie. I gotta see it. I'm more like, oh, Sherry Moon Zombie's in this one. I wonder what Rob did this time.
Right.
I wonder if she's ever been in a movie that's not Rob Zombie.
I don't, that's actually that's a good question. I'll have to look that up sometime.
And maybe that's just the extent of her interest in acting is maybe she only wants to work on, projects with her husband and that he's doing, and she doesn't really, and that's fine. No problem with that. But I just think I think he needs a better utilizer. But whatever.
So she was. So the long and short of it is essentially no, but she was like, for instance, like she was like in Grindhouse, but I'm pretty sure Rob Zombie directed the segment she was in,
Oh,
and she was in like a couple TV shows, like she was in like an episode of Californication and CSI Miami,
CSI Miami.
yeah, but I think otherwise everything. Well, she was in a movie called Toolbox Murders in 2004 that was directed by Tobe Hooper. So other than those handful of things, it's always you know.
There was, I guarantee you, there was a zombie connection there. He got
I'm
her.
Sure. Oh Lord.
Oh,
but
well.
Anywho.
I'm not gonna hate on her. It's her birthday coming up. I'll let it pass.
Exactly. So we wish you happy birthday, Sherry. I hope it's a good one. And then moving on to September 27th, and I think that's the wrong date because this person is definitely not 2 years old.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I don't know what that is.
Whatever. I assume it's a 2002.
I don't know. Is she only 20?
Give me a look. People are probably confused. Yeah, it is 2002. September 27, 2002
Damn.
Is Jenna Ortega. She's 22 years old. So she's, of course, known for her roles in Scream, what, 6? Wednesday, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, and many, many,
Others.
Many other things. She's pretty well, I would say, well-versed actress at this point. But yeah, only 22 years old. So she, I feel like she has done a lot of stuff despite being so young.
Yeah, that's a pretty accomplished career, but pretty remarkable. I don't know why I would thought she was just a touch older than that, but
whatever. It is not. She's a baby.
Very good in Beetlejuice.
She's like this. I mean, she's yeah. That's crazy. It's crazy. It's just weird to me, like that people are like there are people who are born after the year 2000 who are like fully sentient, like human beings.
Yeah.
It's just weird to me, but. I'm sure it's how, you know, people who were born in the 70s feel about people who were born in the 90s. I kid. But moving on to some upcoming movie anniversaries. September 26th, 1975, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Obviously, this is a fantastic movie. Rocky Horror is so good. Tim Curry is amazing. What else can you say? I love it.
Yeah, everybody... Everybody needs to get the time warp stuck in their head. Let's do the time warp
again. There you go.
Ah,
love
fun
it.
Movie. Fun movie.
And that will conclude our singing for this episode. I kid. But moving on to September 29th, 1995. This movie was released a mere 13 days after I was born. Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers. I like this movie. I know a lot of people don't, but it's a fun movie. A little conclusion to the Martha Thorne saga of the Halloween franchise. And it's celebrating.
So,
go ahead.
Well, it's so weird. It's just not to keep going back to it. But again, there was a Halloween Curse of Michael Myers mentioned in the interview with Max and Beer.
There was.
It's like I'm literally not meaning to go back to it every 2 seconds. It seems like everything. I don't know, man. We just must have talked to everything in that interview, I guess.
We really did. I mean, we pretty much. I mean, we discussed. I would. I'm remembering correctly that we essentially discussed every, I think, Halloween movie that's ever been made.
Perhaps.
But he's a huge fan of the Halloween franchise, so that means he's cool in our book.
That's right.
But
and just a teaser, you have to watch the video because he's wearing a very kick-ass shirt too.
That he is.
There you go.
There's
right.
If you have any more reason to watch it, there you go.
Yeah, I'm just gonna just drop that in there.
There you go. And then moving on to September 29th, mere what is that? 28 years later, Saw X, September 29th, 2023. We love Saw X. We have our official review in the archive, so make sure you check that out for full review purposes. But very good, and we're very much looking forward to Saw 11.
Yeah, I felt Saw X was a pretty good return to form. Not saying the others were, you know, horrific pieces of crap, but you know they kind of had a few there where they, you know, it maybe wore a little thin or whatever. And this one, it seemed like it pulled it back in line pretty strong and got back, back into line with what Saul felt, the early Saul felt like. And yeah, it's a fun movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Very much true. And then moving on to September 30th, 1988, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Elvira, you did that
Elvira.
On her birthday.
I did it again. I did
Man,
it again.
Man, trying to make her like French or something. Elvira.
It's just how it rolls off the tongue. Elvira.
Yeah,
but, yeah, I mean, I've never seen this, but I do know who Elvira is. I've seen like clips and stuff from her from like TV and whatnot. And very, very talented, very, you know, fantastic work that she does. And I think that it really laid the path for a lot of future horror television and whatnot. So, yeah, it's fantastic. I need to check it out.
It's a fun movie. It's goofy, but it's fun. It's just her, you know, getting to do her thing in a, you know, full length movie, and it's a good time.
Absolutely. And then moving on to September 30th, again, a good 20 some odd, maybe 30 years into the future, Hocus Pocus 2 in 2022. This is also a movie we reviewed in the archives. So Dave and I both love Hocus Pocus. And if you guys are keeping up with our watch list, Hocus Pocus is on there. I'm not quite certain that we have reached Hocus Pocus yet.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't remember. I'm trying to think of the postings and the graphics we've made. I can't remember.
I'm looking now. Hocus Pocus is...
I want to say it was just a few days ago, maybe.
I think it was. It was a few days ago. I believe it was on the 20th. Well, no, that's today. So it may not be yet. No, it was. It was the 10th. I just can't read. So yeah, it was already on the 10th. So if you haven't watched...
A little more a few days ago. It was 2 weeks ago.
Hey, as long as you say it was at some point in the past, then you're never wrong. but if you haven't watched it yet, obviously you don't have to watch these in order. But if you want to check out and follow and, you know, catch up on the watch list, this is on there. It was from the 10th, and it's never too late to watch Hocus Pocus.
That's right. And it's I advise you watch one and two as a bang bang. Watch them together.
True. That's what we did. Watched them both in succession. But then also on September 30th, 2022, Smile was released. And very timely, Smile is getting ready to come out with its sequel 2 years later. Mm-hmm. And our review of the OG Smile is in the archives as well. Again, this was a very good movie, one that both Dave and I loved. And I do believe that it's made it on the short list of the movies for that year. I don't know if it ended up in our top five, but I do think it was either an honorable mention or lower on that totem pole somewhere.
Yeah, it was somewhere there. It was I don't know whether it made it for sure, but it was definitely talked about on that episode, because it was either in the top five or an honorable mention that we did. So,
right, very good. And then last but certainly not least, October 1st, 2010, which is crazy to think that October 1st is in the very near future. But October 1st, 2010, Hatchet 2, Electric Boogaloo. I'm just kidding. No Electric Boogaloo. But there was a Hatchet 2, as well as others. A fun movie. Hatchet is a throwback to the OG slashers that we know and love. So if you've never seen it, it's worth a check.
Definitely is. I love the Hatchet movies. I think they're super fun. So that's why I always take any chance we can to make sure we mention them in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. So that finishes our birthdays and movie anniversaries. Upcoming releases are next. Mr. Crockett is releasing on Hulu on October 11th. It is described as a mother embarks on a perilous quest to rescue her son from a demonic children's show host who is kidnapping kids. I am always down to save the kids from demonic children's show hosts. So, yes. I have seen trailers for this, actually.
It looks good.
It looks very good.
Yeah.
So it's, I'll be like watching it.
Pretty cool. It's like the lady got the video out of the one of those communal library type box things and put it in for her kids. And yeah, he's like coming out of the TV, doing it through the talks. Looks pretty cool. It's a pretty, pretty clever concept. Not been explored before. And I like the, don't get me wrong, I love my children's show hosts and love that simple TV for kids, you know, and I think it's a great slice of Americana and all that good jazz, but it is very cool to explore that concept of the evil kids show host. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this actually reminds me of a spooky spaghetti. That there was a creepypasta, I cannot remember what it's called, but they Channel Zero, the TV show, did a movie about it And I want to say that I saw the TV Glow, that movie that came out last year. I think they're both very loosely based on the creepypasta I'm thinking of. And this one, and this might also be in the same vein, but I cannot remember what the creepypasta is called. I'll have to look at that later. It's about pirates or some shit. It was Pirate Cove is what it's called.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's a good little creepypasta. It's sort of like a, oh, no one remembers this, like, is it Pirate Cove? But it's basically like no one remembers the, it's like a TV show that everyone remembers, but like nobody remembers type thing. So some people kind of like, or it's called Candle Cove, I'm sorry. But some people also kind of think it might be like a Mandela effect type thing, where like, you know, how everyone remembers the Berenstain Bears was the Berenstain Bears type thing. So, but that's a whole nother thing to get into. Anywho, check out Mr. Crockett. I know I got on a tangent, guys. It happens. but Hulu having a quite a run here. Carved also comes to Hulu on October 21st. Described as a group of survivors find themselves trapped in a historic, I'm sorry, historical reenactment village on Halloween, where they must unite to battle a sentient, vengeful pumpkin. Listen, listen, listen. From what I know of sentient pumpkins, they're very mean, right? Very mean creatures. So, definitely something you need to combat. So, I will definitely be watching this as well, because sentient pumpkins are very fun, especially the vengeful kind.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that I saw, I'm not 100% sure. I think DJ Qualls in this movie. That's
Really?
pretty, that's yeah, that's pretty cool because I like DJ Qualls. Qualls.
Very good.
Forgot the S.
I love DJ Qualls too. So good in Supernatural. But very good, very good. Well, there you go. If you guys have the Hulu subscription or the Disney Plus bundle,
Well, you know Hulu does. I mean, it's called Huluween, so they're pumping it out.
good, very good. I'll say I'm always down for that.
I said
Actually,
they got two fun ones coming there.
I was gonna say I'm pretty sure they're also releasing American Horror Stories, like the anthology series. They're releasing a few more episodes for Halloween
Probably,
as
probably.
well. So,
Yeah, good deal.
good deal. If you don't have a Hulu subscription, better get it now.
That's right.
I could, but anywho, that's what we got for now. So I think we covered everything. We got your news. We got your birthdays, movie anniversaries, and upcoming releases. So if you haven't already, follow us on social media so you can get all this information in real time. But when we come back, we will have our official review of Creeping Death and the Mysterious Sack. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslepod. That is linktr.ee/rasslepod. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, and we are back here on Listen to the Screams. You know, we keep talking about the interview with Bat St. Pierre and everything that we talked about, and lo and behold, we talked about like everything under the sun except for the mysterious sack. What a weird thing.
Exactly.
I can't believe that. I'm gonna have to message him for to get his official statement on the mysterious sack. But that's a weird thing to say. But okay. So the movie is Creeping Death, of course, as we've mentioned 500 times on the show. It was written and directed by Matt St. Pierre, starring Matt St. Pierre, Alan Maxon, Dillian Lynn Court, and more. The movie was released September 10th on Screambox. And as we also stated earlier, it is now officially number one on Screambox, or at least it was. I don't know whether it is at the moment, but we're gonna say it is. Obviously it's riding a great wave of support and only going to get better, I think. I told Ike, I told Matt, this is those kind of movies. I think it's just gonna keep growing as we get closer to Halloween because it's the perfect movie to watch this time of year and to watch right around Halloween. So as people, you know, as it gets into October, people are looking even more. Not us that watch it all the time, watch the stuff year round, but you know, there's people that just they're looking for the spooky stuff then. And I think it's going to just even get a bigger boost then. And plus, they are getting a couple of film festivals that they're doing. I think he said there was one in L.A., one in Atlanta, I think, coming up. So some cool things. And this movie's still gaining steam. And you know, I don't think going to be too long a review here, because I think in the past few episodes and throughout this episode, I think everybody gets the gist that we love this movie. And I it was a blast, so much fun. And you know, I don't want to give anything away spoiler wise, right? We know that it does, by the description, there are, you know, it does focus on a particular aspect of Halloween lore. I think the description may even give away a little bit more than that, but I'm going to leave it at that. But there are also some very, very cool little human interest story bits that are flowing through there that center around Matt's character. What's it? Tim, I think, is his name in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, with a family situation and a kind of a friend slash crush situation there. So those are kind of going in there too. And I've always mentioned this. I've mentioned it a lot about movies, that one thing that a movie really needs to have at some level is you have to feel invested in the characters. And I really think this movie really, really did. I especially Tim, I really felt invested in him and what he was experiencing. And the things that were going on him, you know, he expressed some different things, right? In the situations that he's in, you know, some frustrations, some moments of grief almost, and some sadness. There's some moments of joy and things. And to me, that's very real when you're in some of these situations like Tim was in, that, you know, you go through a range of emotions. And I think it was well done, right? I know Matt in our interview joked about, could have found a better actor to play Tim than him. But, I thought he did a good job. And I don't really have a whole lot of complaints about the movie. I think everybody was in it, did a good job. The people that you were supposed to rally behind did a good job of, you know, making you root for them. There were, you know, some characters that times you wanted to fucking just stab, and they did a good job of making you hate them. And I thought the quote unquote monster, I'm saying quote unquote because I don't want to give away details, right, was very, very cool looking, worked very well, and just was really just was did a great job. I thought the movie flowed well. I thought they did a good job with the music and the score. The shots looked well. You know, it was a low budget movie, but I don't think it fell into some of the trappings that sometimes low budget movies do. I think wherever they had to make adjustments or cut corners because of budget reasons, I think they covered and hid well and made some good choices on where to kind of nip things that it didn't affect the overall, you know, the overall movie. I'm telling you guys, you got to listen to the interview. It's a perfect companion piece for the movie though, because you watch this movie and you'll see, oh, it's a fun movie, it's a great movie. But Matt tells the story of how, man, we came damn close on a couple of different times of not getting this movie. And he tells the stories of why, and, you know, gives a lot of behind the scenes of what truly making an independent movie is like, and right, that it's not, you know, it's not just fun and games, and some of the challenges that are there. So, I want to keep plugging this interview because it's the perfect time with us talking about this movie, with this movie being out there and getting some attention. It is really, I mean, this is almost like a commentary track for the movie in a way. So to speak. And it's really the perfect companion piece to watching this movie. Watch the movie first, then listen to the commentary. And then I would suggest you watch the movie again. And it's pretty cool. It's like watching it again for the first time. When you get to experience some of this, but I loved the movie. I thought it was fun. I thought it looked great. I thought everything just was just, you know, was just a super fun, Halloween movie, like we talked about earlier, like you brought up, Ike, it explores a lore topic that's not, no, you know, been overexposed, right? It's not something that we sit there, we think, oh, we've seen this 30 times. Are they going to do something different? No, this is, it's a fresh idea, right? I'm not saying no one's ever done anything related to holiday lore, but not enough that it's at all feels tiring at all. It feels very, very new and very original. And you know, and you could tell that he really, you know, they really researched the lore pretty good to explain why these things were happening in the movie. And it worked. And I thought it flowed well and was just, it was a fun movie to watch. Went by very quick. It's one of those movies that, man, you just want to grab some popcorn, put your feet up and just have a good time for whatever it was, an hour and a half. So, Ike, tell me what you think of Creeping Death.
Absolutely. So I think my big thing is, obviously movie's fantastic. No one in this, podcast is going to dispute that in any way, shape, or form. Like you said, I have very few complaints about the movie. I think that everything was done very well. I think like you said, the biggest drawback to this film, of course, with a lot of films, is that sometimes when you don't have the budget for things, you have to cut things out. And I think your interview really highlights some of those struggles and things that maybe Matt wanted to do that he couldn't quite accomplish. But I think overall, though, he still accomplished and provided a fantastic film. So I have no qualms with what he provided us. And like you said, he talks about sort of the sort of darker side to things, the drawback to the whole film process. And it is truly unfortunate that, he had to kind of experience that, but I think it's still a positive, experience overall, because still a fun movie, still such a fun movie, a very fun interview. It was fantastic to talk to him. But back to the movie, I think my biggest positive for this movie that I think Matt captured perfectly, that so many filmmakers don't do, is that he captured the fall essence, right?
Right from the get-go.
Right from the get-go, it feels like fall. I remember sometimes when I watch movies or anything, right? And maybe this is just me, maybe I'm crazy. If
And
I
that
can,
might be two different points, Isaac.
true, that's true.
Just so you know, I mean, you might be making a point and it might be true, but you being crazy might be a totally different avenue.
That is
So.
absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. But so beyond me being crazy, sometimes when I watch movies, I can tell when movies are not filmed during the season that they claim to be taking place in. I don't know why. I don't know how. Maybe I'm making it up. Maybe it's Maybelline. But I, in my opinion, watching this movie, I'm sitting there, and as soon as that movie starts, I get those fall feels. I feel the gentle breeze. I see and smell the autumn air, and I can taste a crisp, candied apple. So, anyways,
Hey, quite the word
you're welcome. You're welcome.
there, right?
For everyone out there who just got chills, you're welcome. I'm just kidding. But for real though, I genuinely felt like fall, and I love ambience, right? I am an ambience guy. So when you watch a movie and it has very amazing ambience, very good, very flavorful, and you're just like, yes, this is what I want. And Dave said it a few times during the interview and everything else, but this is one of those movies that I'll probably revisit every year when it's time to get into the fall feels, because you watch this movie and it feels like fall, and you get the chilly Halloween nights being chased by, potential monsters or demons or ghosts. And yeah, it was just such a fun movie. And despite its potential drawbacks, like we said, Matt did a fantastic job. And like he likes to be a little self-deprecating, but he did fantastic as Tim. I think he said that he ever did like a sequel, he'd want to kill his character off in the first scene. So, which, I mean, hey, if he wants to do that, he can do that. But I think he did great. I so very much enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed talking to him, and it's just such a good feel movie in terms of fall. It's not a feel good movie in any way, shape, or form. Let me tell you what. Very much twists and turns, very well written in my opinion. But yeah, I love it. I'm gonna stop rambling, but I cannot get enough of it. I remember I showed Kayla. I was like, "Hey, you need to watch this." I was like, "You're gonna get the fall feels." Well, I couldn't get it to work. This is a whole separate issue. Screambox has like no streaming apps for any devices other than like iPhone right now. So like I can't get it on my TV for some reason, but that's a whole nother issue. That has nothing to do with Matt, so that's not going to affect his grade here.
Yeah, you gotta find a way to get her to watch it though. You gotta find a way.
I think I found a way. I'll just have to hook up my laptop or something, but not a big deal. I think she'll like it though.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a very fun movie. You could definitely, after talking to Matt, you and the things he talked about, his influences, things he really enjoyed, you can very much, I think, see that in the movie. When I watched it that second time and listening to the score, I got that. I got a very John Carpenter feel about it, right? The way the movie was scored. It felt like very Carpenter-esque, and the way it was approached in a good way, in all the good ways, because Carpenter is a master at the music and the score, and it was very 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 good, and it's a lot of aspects of this when you hear Matt say he's never done this before. A lot of it he was learning, and they were experienced. It's remarkable to me, and to me it shows just with strong creativity sometimes can break through. They find a way, right, to get what they want, and to get something that's passable. And they did more than passable on this, right? It's again, it's a much more enjoyable, better looking film than lots of movies with much bigger budgets. It really is. And
Well, and
it,
that's actually, that reminded me because I completely forgot to mention it. But I mean, like, he literally did everything for this movie.
it
He
did.
did the directing, the writing, the acting. He did the score. Him and another guy, one of his buddies, did the score for the movie. Even his own song from his, he has a band and everything else called Sampir, and like they
And
do
then,
music.
yeah, and I mean he edited it, and he
Yeah.
he's yeah and that's what they do, right? That's, as an independent filmmaker, you have to multitask. You have to be able to do that. And he did clearly have he did have some talented people helping him with aspects, you could tell. The camera work was well done. It's funny, a lot of times you watch some of these low budget movies, and you always, I don't want this to sound insulting, but and it might. You sometimes you watch a low budget movie and you'll at least see one or two actors, at least, where you're like,
At least.
oh, yeah, where you're like, oh, they had that must they must have just worked cheap. That must have been why they got them, right? Because it's like that, they're just not the greatest. And no one in this movie really jumped out like that. That where you saw them and thought, oh, they're just clearly not as talented, not as passable or serviceable as these of everybody else. I think everybody did their played their roles very well. Like I said, there's I don't want to give too much away, but there's one guy that is really a super dick in the movie, he, man, I mean, he's one of those guys that's like, if I saw him in real life, I may want to punch him just because, damn, he really played such a good job of being a dick. You got to think, well, he's probably a dick in real life, but no, I can't. I don't know that, and I'm sure he's a fine young man. But he did a great job. I mean, they all did, right? They did a very very solid job in the acting. You didn't feel like there was anybody that was just there because they ran out of acting budget, right? And they had to fill a spot, so they got somebody they could, whoever they could. It really felt like they played within their boundaries very well, and got the most out of everything they had. And that's, we've talked about that in the past, of a talented filmmaker can play to the strengths and knows how to somehow use smoke and mirrors to hide the weaknesses. With the, what was the one movie we always joke about? Was it Cannibal Cabin with the baby?
Yep, Cannibal Cabin.
Yeah, and we you know when
The
we
fucking baby, man.
yeah well we talked about that. We thought there were ways that you could have hid that aspect, right? You didn't even have to show the baby. You could have just pulled it off with a few tricky camera shots and some sound, right? The crying effect got the same exact results, and but they chose a different route, and it it kind of blew the movie. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not going to rag on it, but it, whatever. And we, but we, you know, we've talked about ever since then on that, you know, an independent, a good independent filmmaker will know how to hide the weaknesses, to make it work where you don't, they don't jump out at you. You know, all the things that Matt talked about that they, corners they cut, things they cut out of the movie, things they couldn't do. None of that I noticed when I first watched it. I never did I ever say, oh, you could tell there they probably, that's probably not what they wanted. You know, it all worked. Now, you know, when you watch it the second time and you know, oh, this is where they wanted to do this, and it's fine. But it doesn't, that's doesn't mean what they did was wrong or bad. It worked. They found a, they found workarounds to still make it a solid story. So
Right.
you know, and so hats off. That's, and you know, and like I told, like we told him in the interview, and then it's true, man. I think Matt's a talented guy, and I'm really excited to see what he does from here on out and in the future. Because I think, you know, I think he's a very creative guy and got a lot of talent. So,
Yeah, absolutely.
and regardless, he made a hell of a movie here. He made a very fun movie that I think is going to be on lots of people's Halloween rewatch list every year, or at least it should be. And it'll definitely be on mine. It's it'll be one that I'll rewatch every year, just because, like you said, it has that the right vibe, the right feel, and the right ambiance, as you said, and it just it nails it. And it's a, and it's a fun, and it's a, you know, a fun little spooky story, and got some good kills, got some good there's some good practical effects in it, and, you know, lots of good stuff. It's got a little bit of everything in there, and did it all well. So, all right, well then let's rate this sucker, Ike. You know, I'm gonna give it, I'm gonna give it a 3.5 out of 5. There's a part of me that almost wanted to push to the next level, but I, you know, I'm still very, very reserved with what I will portray or proclaim, excuse me, a 4 screamer above. And you know, those are really upper echelon movies. And while I love this movie, and it's super fun, I don't know that, you know, no offense, nothing negative there. I just don't know if it's quite to that level yet, that iconic level. So to me, it's a, it's a, it's a strong 3.5. Very, very strong. So what are you giving it, Ike, out of 5 screams?
Yeah, I do have to agree there that it would be a 3.5 out of 5. I was very, very, very tempted to just give it the good old 4 out of 5, but I think that for his first work and for what he was able to do, this is a strong 3.5 out of 5, which for us, a 3.5 out of 5 is essentially a shining review. Since 3 is basically a run of the mill, but a 3.5 out of 5 is that movie that takes it to the next level, but could still potentially improve from there. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. I really enjoyed it, and I think Matt has a very, very promising career to make much, much more. So, I'm very excited to see where he goes.
Me too. So there you go. If you've not seen it yet, go watch Creeping Death. And if you have seen it, well, rewatch it again. And then, you know, make sure you listen once again to our interview with writer, director, and actor of from Creeping Death, Matt Sampier. It's releasing this coming Sunday, September 29th. So make sure you listen to that. Make sure you watch that on YouTube, and then watch the movie again. And then don't forget, next episode we will be reviewing Never Let Go, which is out in theaters now. Before we get out of here, so I want to throw out a very special thank you. Well, first, a thank you once again to Matt for coming on, doing that interview with us that will be released coming up. Thanks for his time. I know he's a busy guy, and we appreciate all these creators giving us the time and doing these interviews with us. But also thank you to our wives for all their support, everything they do. Once again, they will be on soon for another wives rebuttal. We promise it's coming at some point in time. But also thank you to all of you out there. You spooktastically wonderful people, all of our listeners, followers. We need a name for them, Mike. We need a name for our listeners. We'll have to work on that. Maybe we'll throw it out to them and see if they come up with a creative name. It's, I mean, you think it's got to tie in Scream how somehow, right?
Oh,
I
I was
don't
gonna say
know.
screamers. I
Yeah,
don't know.
screamies, scream heads. I don't know. We I know we.
Gorgeeks.
Yeah, I mean, we you know, we call them, you know, ghouls and creeps at the beginning, but I think we need something a little more us. So
Yeah.
we'll work on that. We'll work on that.
What's up, fuckers?
Maybe we'll just call them our little video nasties.
There you go.
I just love saying video nasty. I don't know. It's like you want to say that, just want to put a little stink on it when you say it, right? Video nasty.
A little stank.
Little flavor on that, because it's just it's just, I don't know. There's something about it that makes me chuckle every time I hear it and say it. Video nasty. It's like something out of a movie.
It does.
Anyway, thank you all for supporting us and listening to us. Like Ike mentioned earlier, make sure you subscribe to us and follow us on social media. Make sure go out, subscribe on YouTube. It is not a Listen to the Screams unique channel. It is part of my channel, Nostalgic Dave Dynasty, that has all my stuff on it and all of our Listen to Screams all combined into one. I didn't feel a need to start a unique channel just for this. I just put it as part of this one, but it does have its own. Actually, there's two unique playlists there. There's one for the standard podcast, and then there is the video interview playlist. They're very easy to find there on the main page. So just look it up. It's under Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You'll see it right there in the banner. Is Ike and me, our pictures in the banner. So there you go. Those two wonderful glowing good luck charms of the Screambox charts right there in the banner. But make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube so that you can see these videos in the video version, because that's the best way to see it. It's a lot of fun to see these guys. And like I said, the one with Matt, it's really a visual thing. There's lots of stuff we reference that you have to see. So make sure you do that. But do subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. Give us a rating and review, because that helps us in those algorithms when people are out there listening to other spooky podcasts. That way we come up as a suggested listen for them, and people will say, hey, who are those good-looking, fat, good-luck charms of the Screambox charts right there? Let's go go subscribe to them. But anyway, thank you for all of your support. And until next episode, which I guess next episode will be the interview with Matt, but our next episode coming next week, the regular episode where we will review Never Let Go. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.